just at the end of this, try and wrap up everything, but this is how we are going to move this morning. I have four speakers in the house, very brief speakers, I know, they are very brief, who will come here in the order of appearance and just share with us what's in their heart in terms of prayer and in terms of what the Lord is saying. Then I will come up and wrap it up for every one of us. Is that okay? Please learn as much as you can and be inspired as much as you possibly can, because we need to pray. We ought to pray. The Bible says men always ought to pray and not faint. If there is anything that will keep you awake and strong and standing, it's prayer. Not necessarily attending church service, but prayer. Your personal prayer, your corporate prayer. Very important. So this morning, this is how we are going to start. Brother Jomo will come up first, followed by Sister Paula, and then Brother Brandon will come through, and Sister Sharon will end. In that order. Hello. Thank you.
I'd like to start by declaring that I did not volunteer for this task. Yeah, I was volunteered. I guess basically what I'm supposed to go through is my testimony about my walk through prayer from the time I understood what prayer was going forward. I suppose every one of us, except maybe Brother Kilton here, who was on the mountains, we were forced to learn the Lord's Prayer in school. And, you know, like all the primary school kids, you repeat it. And for us, the prize there was who learned how to recite it all first. We're not taught how to interpret it. We're not taught that it had application to our lives or how to apply it in our lives. It was just a recital exercise. Nothing more, nothing less. And that's how, as kids, we took it. So right up to where I made the decision to become a Christian, I really never learned how to pray. So my first experience, my testimony simply is that my wife became a Christian before I did. And because of the transformation in her life, I was attracted to who she had become. So I started visiting church with her, et cetera, et cetera. And this particular church were very enthusiastic. You know how our brethren on the other side of town live. So I was volunteered again to actually, because I had a vehicle and there was a missions team that needed to go out to a rural church. So they asked for my vehicle, and I hadn't even made a declaration to be a Christian, but I was in the church. So I said yes. So I drove this missions team all the way to some rural setting there, and I think the leader at the time must have assumed I was a Christian. So, and maybe to thank me for volunteering my vehicle and time, he then asked me to pray. That was the most horrible experience of my life. The worst thing was, it was a rural church, so I had to pray in vernacular. I just got confused. I just babbled. I didn't know whether I was addressing God or I was addressing the church. I just stood there and looked really lost. Fortunately, there was an elderly lady in the church who realized that this man is lost. He just doesn't know what this is all about. And she just took over and prayed. The relief. So, following that, I started going to my wife's church in September. I traveled with her to Cape Town to visit my family in December, and I traveled with my mom. My mom was a Jehovah's Witness. My wife had been born again about a year. So now I was throwing things at them, getting them to fight it out so I could see who the real believer was here. By the time I came back from Cape Town, I knew I wanted to become a Christian. So I went back to this church, January the 6th, 1995, and I committed to becoming a Christian. And how was that done? I was told, pray after me. So again, I just followed. And fortunately, the difference was I understood. And the commitment was real. Yeah, you pray, but you mean it. Maybe the motivation was messed up, but I knew I wanted the Christ that my wife was reflecting. By God's grace, I registered for Bible school that year. I registered for marriage counseling as well. Maybe the background to that is that up until that time, I can tell you this. I married my wife in 1986. We wedded in 1987. By this time, which was 1994, I really wanted out of the marriage. Nothing was working the way I thought marriage would work. But when that transformation took place in her life, I thought, no, who's this woman? And I fell in love again. So I attended this two-year course, Fundamentals of the Faith, where they taught us Bibles, the Fundamentals of Faith over a two-year program. I attended this Married for Life course. Then it was called Nova Shalom. It transformed over the years, became Married for Life. MMI Industries, like Marriage Ministries International. I actually even became a facilitator. And through all those processes, I was learning how to pray. I was exposed to a lot of different ways of praying, but most of it, again, was repeating what was written down, repeating what you were seeing, and mimicking, you know, the giants that stood on the altar in your church and other churches. And really, it actually was an academic exercise rather than a personal experience. But the personal experience comes through the testings. And I think that is where my testimony begins. I think in all this time, that's when I realized that God's overwhelming grace existed. Because I was messing up left, right, and center, even in trying to become a Christian. And obviously, one of my other experiences that I struggled with, and I obviously want to encourage others here, is we learned that once you undergo baptism in the Spirit, one of the signs is the evidence of speaking in tongues. My mind didn't arrive where the teaching, or my heart didn't arrive where the teaching was. Because in my head, I'm like, speaking this language, what spirit am I letting in here? Because I'll be honest with you, I think in a sense, I knew I needed deliverance. But I didn't understand how that would come about. And I didn't want a situation where I was now letting a spirit I didn't know lead how I speak. So my journey towards that deliverance took about 4 years. And it came with deliverance. Give glory to God for that. Yeah, now I'll just summarize my lessons from the teachings that we got. You know, kind of like what was revealed to me was there was two parts to learning how to pray. The one is where people were telling us that God is your Father. So talk to Him like you talk to your Father. Now, for those of us that had absentee fathers, that wasn't quite good advice because you really didn't have an example to work from to make that real for you. So, and when you read about God in the Old Testament, all you knew was He was. You know, you learned about the wrath of God rather than the love of God. You learned about how He punished those that broke His laws, and you knew you were breaking His laws every day. So that particular thing took a long time to make sense. The other one was, bring your petition to God the judge. But the foundational teachings weren't given to us, how that should happen. And I'm sure in this teaching course, all of that will be laid clearly for you to understand the difference between the two, for all of us to understand the difference between the two. So that became the work that I was seeking to navigate as I grew in the faith. Yeah, my growth process in this faith walk and in prayer, in my prayer walk, took a lot of dimensions because there were a lot of fads and things that were happening in Christendom at the time. And a lot of my prayer lessons were born out of crisis. Something tragic happens in your life, then all of a sudden you're like seeking for a solution and you're chasing this solution taught by this teacher or this whatever. But all of it was mechanical and really designed towards solving me, myself, I problems. So the walk, I've got a long history here. I mean, we went through prayer and fasting, we went through spiritual warfare, we went through declarations and all of that, but we were following books written by Daniel Adeyepo or some other Nigerian or American preacher, rather than learning who your Father is. I'll give you some examples of, if you can call them victories that I experienced. I think because of the route I took, I can tell you I am of Malawian descent. And for those of you that know, Malawians are known for dabbling in the spiritual, in witchcraft, in what do you call it, when translocation. All kinds of things. Malawians are pretty good at that. And I've never been to where my father comes from, because the reason he gave us was, son, I can't take you there because I have to fix some things. And he wouldn't say what. But I got to learn that, hey, where he came from, they dabbled in witchcraft. So I then also got to know that he visited a lot of ngangas, you know, those kind of people. But in the process, when I was doing spiritual warfare, we came under attack as a family, we came under attack as a church. We saw all kinds of crazy things. I remember when we started doing the declarations thing where you command the day and the day starts at 6 p.m. I would get to my house and at 5:45, there were two owls specifically hooting during that. And the impression I had was these guys were commanding the day ahead of me, of my life. So obviously I would start praying and all kinds of things. I mean, I remember the one night I woke up to go to the loo and I decided to go to the lounge and I found a really huge owl in my house and I couldn't figure out how it had come in. So obviously I knew this was spiritual. But somehow God protected me and allowed me to command this owl to leave the house. I opened the door and I told the owl, if you don't leave, I'll kill you. And how I'll kill you is based on Ecclesiastes 13. I'll break the silver cord. So obviously there was teaching that I was getting and all that. And the owl flew out in a hurry. There was a time when I came home one time during this period of spiritual warfare. My granddaughter had her mouth moved off to one side. My daughter was crying and saying, Dad, please pray for my girl. And because I'd done so many things that were prescribed, I didn't pray for her. I just got angry with God. I should have learned a lesson then. And I just went out and I prayed to the Lord and I said to the Lord, I believe I've done everything you've asked me to do and I believe that I have sought protection over my kids and this should not happen. You really should. And I was praying in tongues, walking up and down. And as I was doing that, God gave me a revelation. He allowed me to understand that at that point in time, what I needed to do. I followed his instruction. It had nothing to do with praying for my grandchild. It had to do with the issues of altars. And as soon as I broke that specific altar he instructed me to do, went back into the house, the child was healed. So, a lot of things were being revealed, but because I was pursuing certain other things, it took a long time to come to, I think, what is probably the most important thing that this prayer walk has led me to, and this is my pursuit of God. And I think that's the encouragement, if nothing else, that I'd like to give. There's a lot I had written. But I think that what we need to end up at is at the Father's feet. Because that is the best example. So, my Father's instruction to you and to me is pray without ceasing. And the Bible says when you pray, it doesn't say if you pray. So this is not a suggestion. This is an instruction for you as a son of God. More than that, Jesus Christ gives us an example of how to pray. And he says, pray like this. Do you know, in the Lord's Prayer, there are so many revelations that you can get. And I'd like to encourage us to seek that revelation. Another thing that God instructs us, he says, pray and do not give up. That's in Luke 18, 1 to 3. And another encouragement is simply pray fervently. Because the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. In conclusion, maybe let me take you back to the revelations. The Lord's Prayer says, Our Father. And I think Brother Kilton mentioned this, which for me is very important. When you pray, say, Our Father. It doesn't say, My Father. It says, Our. So that gives you the responsibility of community responsibility. When you pray, you're not just praying for you. You're encouraged to pray for others. Now, who that others is now dependent on your situation and where you are. But you have the responsibility to carry the load for others. Our Father. Father, what does that mean? Abba, Pater. But basically, I think the most important thing is your Father is the source. So it doesn't matter where you go. The place to run to is the source. Go to where you began, and therein your solution lies. So as kingdom sons, you and I, we need to learn how to exercise our kingdom rights. And that means growing in the knowledge of the Lord and applying that knowledge with godly wisdom to your life. And we need to learn how to pray and pray according to His will. Thank you.
Well done, Jamo. Yeah. As he said, not that we volunteered for this. And it's something when you're very passionate about and you agree to share what's on your heart, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And yeah, he's had my mind so confused. But that's why we need to pray, is because we've got to bind those thoughts. The reason I've got notes is because it's like my comfort zone. I feel a little bit scary out there. I just want to start, first of all, with a question. I'm not going to ask you to share your answer, but I want you to put it into perspective with what I'm going to talk about. A, what value or how important is it to have regular communication with your loved ones? And B, would it matter to you how they communicated, e.g., if they're away, sending a text message, voice message, phone call, or if they're close, just sitting next to you, not necessarily talking, but you feel their closeness, or they're just pouring out their hearts to you? That's food for thought. I think there are two essential, in fact, imperative choices we need to make in life. One, surrendering one's life to Christ, which leads to life. And two, to walk closely with God through prayer, fellowship, quiet times, praise and worship. The reason is that they are all helpful ways to draw nearer to God through the Holy Spirit. To ignore or refuse to surrender one's life will lead to death. I want to focus on the value of prayer. Firstly, the value of prayer is we need to look from a biblical perspective. To have an understanding of the importance and value of prayer, we must look at a perfect example in Jesus Christ. Jesus was sinless, but he never did anything without speaking to his Father. He would have quick prayers, giving thanks for the food, feeding the 5,000. Prayers of pleading with his Father, take this cup from me, but not my will, but yours be done. And prayers where he went to be alone with his Father. Jesus understood the value of communicating with his Father, his dependence on him, and how much more do we need to communicate with our Heavenly Father. What prayer has done for me? Prayer has taught me that I have power and authority to defeat the enemy. Why do I know this? Because the Bible tells me, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. It has shown me that I can speak to my mountains, and they must move. Why? Because the Bible says, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Prayer has shown me that the more time I spend with God, I understand more of his character, that I see him for who he truly is. He's merciful, he's just, he's loving, compassionate, and slow to anger. Not through tinted lenses, like what I've heard false teachers say, or my own distorted view of what I once had as a non-believer, and even as a new believer. Things like, the harder I work in the kingdom, the more he'll love me, so I'll just keep working. Or, I'll never be good enough, I'm just such a terrible sinner. Prayer has also enabled me to trust God in everything, that no situation, no problem is too difficult for him. I still have anxious moments, but I go back to the word that I quote often. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I know that God is who he says he is. I am who I am. I am the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God. I have messed up so many times, but he loves me in spite of it all. When I have felt alone, my problems insurmountable, I hear that still small voice. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And when I surrender my problem and allow God to take control, sometimes it takes a lot longer than I hoped. But I've realized his timing is perfect. His ways are above our ways. Then I want to conclude with what prayer means to me. I am deeply passionate about prayer. Prayer brings me joy. I love spending time in prayer, be it on my own or in a group, on my knees or lying on the floor, praising and worshiping him through singing and dancing, or just being silent. That not so much, but I am working on it. I have found it helpful having a diary next to me, which I use to pen my thoughts, my prayers, thanksgiving, or what the Holy Spirit is saying. The reason I do this is because I love going back and seeing all the answered prayers and where I was, what my frame of mind was at that time. An example of this was I was reading through my diary from 2015, and came across the story of answered prayer. Our son Courtney had just moved to New Zealand and having a few odd jobs was looking for a more permanent job. I prayed, asking the Lord what he should do. His reply was, plumbing. Not the answer I was expecting, to be honest. However, I told Courtney this. He didn't sound enthusiastic either, but he applied for apprenticeship and got it. It was a 5-year course, which he started at the age of 31. He is now turning 40, but fully qualified, and actually even more so than some of his bosses. God hears and is able. Prayer is just a wonderful, intimate time with our Heavenly Father. So back to my questions. I am sure, in fact certain, that everyone's answer would be that it's very important to communicate with our loved ones. And it wouldn't matter how they did it, as long as you heard from them. If they didn't, it would be very hurtful, not so. How much more do you think it hurts God when we don't spend that time with him? We're too busy. This is going on. It wouldn't matter what state we're in, lost, desperate, fallen again, or how we did it, long prayers, short prayers, on our knees or on the floor. What's important is to be intentional. We've got to understand God's heart. He longs to be with us. He created us to be worshipers and to spend time with him. As I end this, I just pray that you have got my heart and see how important it is to pray. Don't bring yourselves short that I don't know what to say, I don't know how to say it, I'm a sinner, whatever the the reasons you don't pray. I urge you, it's just sometimes just be in his presence. Just say, I don't know what to say, Lord. And you'll just get that peace that surpasses all understanding. Because you've got to understand, when you're praying, know who you're praying to. He is a loving God. He cares about you. Every little detail in your lives, he wants to know about it. And he will answer you. Just be patient. Thank you.
Morning, everyone. I feel a little bit out of depth coming after Paula. she's part of our life group, and woof, if you talk about a prayer warrior, that's the one. I would just like to share two things to you this morning. The one being just a part of prayer that I've learned in the last year, and the second is a testimony. So firstly, what I felt God teaching me this year, or last year, about prayer. And I just want you to understand, it's not a formula. I'm just explaining how it works for me, and that's all I can show you is what works for me. So as my faith has grown, my prayer life has also increased. And I've found that there's many different ways to pray, but specifically the kind of prayer I want to speak about is your daily prayer. And I found in the mornings that if I spend a bit of time in scripture, maybe open a little bit up in a bit of praise and worship, maybe just hum a little song to myself. The situation has to be a point of which It's quiet. There's no one else around. My to-do list somehow gets turned off, which is the part of which I really struggle with, is that to-do list is always going, and if it's not work, it's home, and it's the geezer, and it's the you gotta figure out how to turn that off, and it's tough. But when you come to that point to be able to just sit still in God's presence, and for Him to stir your heart in whatever is churning, and a lot of the time, God will sit and the Holy Spirit will stir in me to say, "You're looking at it wrong. Look at it like this." And a lot of the time, the solution is not out there; it's in here. That's the point at which I've come to with prayer is listen twice, speak once. And just if you go through the Bible and you look at our example of what prayer should look like, Jesus prayed, and a lot of the times he prayed in the quiet. Matthew 14 verses 23, after sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Mark 11 verse 35, before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went to an isolated place to pray. Luke 5 verse 16, but Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. Luke 6 verse 12. One day soon after Jesus went up on the mountain to pray, he prayed to God all night. I really encourage you to try and find that. And it's all different for different people. For me, it works in the morning. But find that point of just still, not no one else around. If it's the bottom of the garden, if it's the spare room, if it's wherever, look for that place. And then I've got a testimony. Which, to be honest, after yesterday is a bit of a challenge. 18 years ago, traveling from Gweru to Bulawayo in an old Isuzu Bucky that I bought from a farmer who had really worked it hard. I sat in the car with my wife, with my little boy. And my baby girl. And we broke down on the side of the road. And I can honestly remember that prayer till today. And I prayed and I said, "God, please, I just need a reliable car. Nothing fancy, I can remember being specific. I just need a reliable car." 17 years have passed. I had a car, I bought a brand new car then. 17 years have passed. It's helped me build 3 businesses and a huge family. Twice, I've run out of fuel. Other than that, it has never once left me on the side of the road. 405,000 Ks. I had an accident yesterday and we had to get towed away, which I feel was probably the devil giving me a punch in the side, but I almost didn't share that, to be honest with you. Thank you.
Morning, church. Hope you're all well. Today, I'd just like to share with you my testimony. For those that know me, I was not the kind of person that would be so keen to talk in front of people nor pray also as well. And yeah, when I got born again, prayer was like a burning fire within me. I just wanted to pray. But I somehow could not get the words out, especially in public. When I was in a corporate setting, I could not pray. I'd get tongue-tied. But when I go home, I could write the most beautiful prayers. Alone with my father, I could say anything I wanted. But in public, it just did not want to come out. And it was my daily prayer every single day. And I asked the Lord, help me to pray. When King City Church started the prayer group, I was just so keen to go and join it because I just love prayer. The thing I dreaded, yeah, was to pray out loud in front of everybody. But the day we first met, we were sent out to pray by ourselves. And it was so good to me. I prayed for the first time about half an hour, and that like exercised my spiritual muscles, my prayer, you know. But in praying in that half an hour, God opened a totally new world to me. He showed me things and spoke to me in ways just in that half an hour that I never thought was possible. And you know, Bessie kept encouraging, and he says, even if your prayer is a few words, as long as it comes from the heart, it's all that matters. And it encouraged me. But in saying that, with the prayer group, I gradually grew. I was now able to pray out loud, you know, in front of other people. I was a bit afraid, but I said, it's okay. As long as I'm saying something and I mean it, it's from my heart, it's from deep within, it came out well. But God had other plans for me. One day I faced my worst fear, my worst nightmare, in broad daylight. I started to drown. I couldn't think of anything else besides what was happening in front of me. All prayer went, everything was gone. I was drowning, truly drowning. And somehow through all that chaos, Holy Spirit just said to me, pray. I carried on panicking. The panic was unbelievable because I thought I had overcome my fears. But he just kept saying to me, pray. So I began to pray. I prayed in tongues, but it was an internal tongue. I prayed silently. And as I prayed, that peace, it just started coming. I continued to pray. This took maybe about 5 minutes, but I was praying in tongues. And his peace just came upon me. And he showed me to say, you're not alone. Look who's with you. And no word of a lie, there was an angel by me. He was standing there in front of me. I broke down and I repented that day because I had put my trust so much in the physical, not in him. I relied on my own ability to handle things, to overcome my fears, not knowing that I only buried my fear. My fear of a lot of things, fear of failure, fear of the dark, fear of the boogeyman. I had lots of fears. But he came to my rescue. And it's just an encouragement to anyone here today. If you feel that you're drowning through fear, unable to pray in a corporate setting, God is there, he sees, he hears. And you just got to put your faith in him. And he's grown my faith. I tell you, he's grown my faith. And yeah, I can stand here today and tell you that he's there. He's my comforter. He's my shield. And he hides me in the palm of his hand. And I thank you, Lord, for who you are in my life. And yeah. Thank you so much for listening.
Hallelujah. Again, let's just say amen to wonderful testimonies. Well, we heard scary things first from Jomo. Yeah, what would you do if that thing happened to you? It does happen. We are in the world. And now she ends with an angel in front of you. Do you know that angels are there to minister to the saints? Please, angels are not book stories. They are a reality. They are given to you to minister to you. And maybe you have not seen one. It doesn't mean that he is not there. He's around. He has done a lot for you, and you wonder how you got out of that. How did I even do it? He was there. Brendan, thanks for that little prayer that turned everything around. Eh? You know, God is not looking for those long prayers, ladies and gentlemen, where we sweat and jump and do everything. It's just a communication from heart to heart, and things work very well. Ladies and gentlemen, prayer is foundational in our walk as believers. We cannot walk with God without praying. We ought to pray. We ought to engage. Prayer is the most given method of engaging God. We communicate with our Father who is in heaven. We engage with him through prayer. Prayer is you and me talking to God. Prayer is you and me engaging our Father on various issues concerning our walk here on earth. And remember that our walk is premised on his will for our lives. Eh? It's premised on his mission for you and me. So prayer is foundational. Prayer is very important. I will just summarize what my beloved have said here as we lay down the foundation for a prayerful month this month. That, you know, the call is for us to be given to prayer. Yeah, the call is for us as believers to be given to prayer. Men always ought to pray and not faint. Pray therefore without ceasing, non-stop. And the good thing and the beautiful thing about our Christian prayer is that we don't have to look for a hidden corner every time to pray. Eh? We can pray always everywhere. Pray driving, pray cooking, pray doing whatever you are doing. Every time you are praying, because prayer is an inner thing that we pronounce by our words. Sometimes we don't have even to pronounce it by our words, but we pray in the heart, in the spirit. And the things happen. God looks at your heart. If your heart is prayerful enough and is always connected with heaven, guess what? He keeps giving instructions. He keeps showing you things. Call unto me and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things. Prayer is our call to God. We call God through prayer and he answers. And he shows us great and mighty things. How many of us realize that as believers, we are people who are supposed to be knowing great and mighty things? Yeah? There is no believer who is supposed to be ignorant of the things of the kingdom of God, or even of the things that are happening around us. As long as you stay in prayer and your heavenly Father keeps showing you things, he keeps bringing awareness to you, he keeps revealing things to you. So prayer is foundational. If you look at the early church, they continually met in prayer. They continually prayed. They were so given to prayer that all the days of their lives it was about prayer. Remember, this is a church that was going through a lot of challenges, too much persecution and too much challenges here and there. I think we are too comfortable as a church in our generation. Yeah, but you know, them that side, you the guys would pray. And they knew one thing, that their survival dependent on how they engaged with their God. Otherwise, the enemy would wipe them out. And they knew what prayer meant. They valued prayer. prayer was a good way for them, and they always did pray. You know, Paul encourages us in Romans chapter 12, verse number 12, where he says we must be continue steadfastly in prayer. Yeah? Continue steadfastly in prayer. No matter what, it doesn't matter your condition. You are feeling good, pray. You're feeling bad, pray. You are in doubt, pray. You are excited, pray. Be steadfast in prayer as a believer, because that is the behavior of believers. Ladies and gentlemen, believers pray. Believers are prayerful people. Believers ought to pray. And when we pray, God reveals heaven to us, reveals the kingdom, and we begin to walk in that influence and change things around us. Don't you think that our Lord himself was so given to prayer, like Brendan said, so much given to prayer, that every time where he was, where he walked, you things would happen. Yeah? The early church guys were so given to prayer, so much that when they walked, Peter's shadow would just be cast on a person and they get healed. It was not just the anointing, like some of us go for the anointing. It doesn't work when you don't pray. It works with prayer. When you stay in prayer, the supernatural is your lifestyle. It happens everywhere you are, every time. Yeah? On December 12th, my wife will... Where is Michaela? She's somewhere. December 12th. You know, we were so happy this December. We're so happy at home. You know, planning Christmas, everyone is coming and all that kind of stuff. We have a little Mzugulu. Have you seen her? She is not here today. Zano. You know, at that age, those people are very, very experimental. Yeah? They love doing things. So she picks up a bokli. There was some water in that bokli. She picks up a bokli, opens it, and gargles the water. And she gets choked. What's the correct word? Water goes in into the nose and everything else, and the baby dies. You were, this past December, you would have seen the amount of prayer that rose from our hearts, trying everything. The mama is screaming, and the sister is screaming. We are trying to beat the thing, and we are declaring, "You shall not die. You can't die. It's not possible to die now." It took us about 5 minutes or so to resuscitate the thing, and the thing had given up. Poor. Yeah, it's gone. And we're like, "Oh God, it can't be. It can't be. We're planning for a beautiful festive season. Devil, we can't allow you that kind of freedom." And when she... And... Christmas began. Christmas began. You see, we need to learn to fight as believers. And we learn that in prayer. In most cases, we have let go what we are supposed to keep. Yeah? Because we quickly panic and say, she's gone in no ways. Come on. Have the thing back. If it is yours, and you fight in prayer, and let that spirit be in you always, so that you can fight for what is yours. Talk to your neighbor and say, "Fight for what is yours." Don't just let go. And that resistance comes when you stay in prayer. Are you with me, ladies and gentlemen? I wrote here that prayer helps us to maintain a battle stance against the unseen enemy structures that fight against us. When you stay in prayer, it keeps you in the battle stance. It keeps you ready to fight. Actually, it keeps you fighting. You see, prayer is not the tool. Prayer is the battle. Prayer is the really warfare. When we are not praying, we are not in the warfare. Remember, we have a warfare. We are fighting. So when I am in prayer consistently, steadfastly like that, I am in the mind to fight. And I will not let the devil just come in and mess you up like that. Are you with me, ladies and gentlemen? So let's stay in prayer. That's our desire, that for the month ahead, not only this month, but for the months ahead, throughout the year, we be a people who are in prayer. Sorry. We be a people who are in prayer. The Bible says in Ephesians 6, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. All prayer. There are all kinds of prayer. Jomo did show us here all kinds of prayer. In fact, it's a few that he showed us, isn't it? There's quite a lot. Prayer is not this just one thing. There's all kinds of prayer in the Spirit, where you can supplicate, where you can stand in, where you can call, where you can declare, where you can speak to things. Speak to the mountain, it moves. Tell this, it does that. Because you are praying from authority. As a child of God, you have the authority to speak. Remember, your words create your intentions. So when you speak a word, it comes to pass. You shall surely not die. That word creates that. Yeah? Are you with me this morning? Prayer is foundational, ladies and gentlemen, that even as we walk through whatever we are doing, we need to be a people who pray. Prayer is the means by which we engage in the battle itself. It is the purpose for which we are fully armed. Remember the full armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6? The reason God has armed us is so that we pray. What the enemy fights against you is your prayer life. If only he can take you out of your prayer life, he is cool with you. You born again, congratulations, you are going to heaven. There is no mistake about that. But you have no influence here. You are not affecting his schedules and schemes around you. You weeping every morning, he enjoys beating you left, right, and center, and you are crying everywhere. We are in trouble. And you are even singing, born to suffer, born to suffer. No. Stand up. Maybe you were born to suffer, but you have been delivered to reign with the Lord Jesus Christ. He has bought you with his blood and made you king and priest. How many kings have you seen that don't know how to rule? Kings are people of authority. They say and it happens. Yeah? That's who we are in Christ Jesus. So we can't be giving the enemy this privilege to do what he wants to do with us. It's not appropriate. Fight. And how do you fight? Pray. Stand in prayer. Stand in prayer. And then you are able to affect your environment, ladies and gentlemen. Do you know we are a people of influence? That's who we are. We are representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus wouldn't be here and they don't know he is here. Jesus wouldn't walk through hillside and they don't feel him. Yeah? He's like that. You heard me? The Lion of Judah. The lion in the natural. I am told that if a lion, the natural lion, if a lion walked into a particular village, the cackle, the dogs will feel the lion is here. And I'm told they will run away home. Yeah? You will see your cows coming home during the day, and you wonder why, and they are coming for security because somebody is in the village. Even those that don't necessarily come home, you have to go and fetch for them. On that day, they will come home because there's somebody in the vicinity. They feel him, and your dogs will be wanting to get into the house. Those who live outside, because there's somebody. That's the same stance with us in the spirit world when we are with the king himself, the Lion of Judah himself. Ladies and gentlemen, we walk through places and some people feel uncomfortable. It happens when you stay in prayer. Because in prayer, this is where this influence is gathers momentum. This is where this thing in you begins to work. So the calling is, let's be given to prayer. Let's stay in prayer. Individually and collectively. You have no time to kneel and pray in the morning. Good. Get into the car. And on your way to the office, pray. You're taking your children to school. Pray with them in the vehicle. Yeah? Declare some things to them. And show them that there is got to be a fighting that takes place. Prayer is your lifestyle. Talk to your neighbor and say, prayer is your lifestyle. I said prayer is what God has equipped you to do. So that having done all, you remain standing. And you can only stand in prayer. You can only stand through prayer. So I just want to end by this, ladies and gentlemen, this morning. That as we pray this week, I know, you know fully well. In most cases when we pray, we call for things. We're begging God for things. We asking for things. Sometimes we even instruct God to bless us. And I always say, excuse me, you are blessed already. How many times should he bless you? It's not a prayer for a believer to say, God bless me. You are blessed already. Don't waste God's time and your time. You're already blessed. But I want us to look at Colossians chapter 1, what Paul is praying for the church, and make this our attitude for prayer as we pray this month. The Bible says, in the Lord's Prayer, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You see these four things, very powerful things. This is where our focus is. And these other things are coming based on these four foundations, these four fundamentals. So if the attitude of your prayer is focused on this, particularly on the Father's will, the better. Paul says in 1 Colossians chapter 1, I'm finishing, verse 9, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. It's my prayer this morning that as you pray for yourself, don't go and ask for money and material things and all those things. Ask God to fill your heart with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. May your focus be on knowing God so that you can walk worthy the Lord. You get what I'm talking about? So that you can be fruitful in everything that you are doing. Yeah? Am I with you? Or are you with me this morning? Let's focus on knowing God. Do you know that the more I know him, the more powerful I become, the more influential I become, the more peaceful I am? Do you know that when I know him, the more fighting I am? Because I know him. And I know his will for my life. So when my prayer is focused on knowing God, ladies and gentlemen, this is what Paul is talking about here. Things begin to align in my life. Remember, it is his will that makes things align in my life. Remember, it is his knowledge in my heart that pulls things together around me and towards me. And because I know him, where I am, they begin to have that order. Because the knowledge of God brings order. The Bible says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. The knowledge of our God. So may our hearts be focused on this as we pray. Hallelujah. That we may know God. And when you know God, you'll begin to see the freedom that you walk in, the joy in your heart. You will not be afraid of praying anywhere, anyhow, anywhere. My daughter was telling me that where they used to work, there was this Nigerian lady. Anytime, even when she has a client, yeah, is working, and there is a client serving, she will just burst into prayer. Yeah, 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 yeah. Anytime. The boss knew that the woman would just pray, so they didn't bother her anymore. She would just pray. I love that freedom. Of course, sometimes it sounds like it's disruptive, but it's good freedom. That's the freedom that comes with the knowledge of our God in our hearts as believers. Hallelujah. God bless you as you pray this month, all the days ahead, even as you tune yourself up. May you know His will. May you know God's will for your lives. And may you win and succeed. Let's stop having the same year. I mean, what am I trying to say? You had your so-called goals in 2025, and you have put them again in 2026 because you didn't achieve even 2%. You know, you can only achieve by changing your inner man, ladies and gentlemen. Changing your ways of doing things, your thinking patterns and everything else. And these things will not change by coming to church only. They change by staying in prayer. God bless you. It is well with you throughout the week. If you are sick, you are healed in Jesus' mighty name. And if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to help you. When others are going out, please, you can walk towards me. Then I'll assist you. But otherwise, it is well, children of God. The Lord loves you. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you this morning in the name of Jesus for such a moment of testimonies. Such a moment of encouraging one another and inspiring one another. Even as we pray, Lord, throughout the days ahead, may you fill our hearts with the knowledge of your will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray. Amen and amen.